See, the Chokhmah and the Chesed and the genius of the Boira is going to continue in Kufayin Ches, a couple of other fascinating observations. We have to make some of our own, but some of these are really cool. So like this, Shalom Yonatan. When we play HaBoirahu, Keitzad Noitza HaMozon miHazroim. One of the pillars. Okay, I might just wait now. There's somebody else connected. Shimi Shalom. We're just starting on Kufa and Ches. When we play HaBoirahu, Keitzad Noitza HaMozon miHazroim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates food from seeds. Shegarge Echad, Gargi Echad, one little seed. Matzmiach b'mumutza elef gargirim v'yoser. Can make on average 1,000 seeds more. Kushlo nifka mi barad v'shidafon kadoima. That's when it's not affected by the elements, by hail or by floods or similar types of occurrences. Ukvanas chishuv. One little wheat seed, one little kernel of wheat. If then a cheshbon today, we even more clued up how much it is and what it is. And today, with all the genius, maybe they get more even. You get 300 shibolim. We call shiboilet yishnam yosem esrim gagirim. And each shiboilet, you've got over 20 kernels. Yeshnam eitzim gedolim, shenoitzim gergir echad, massive big trees, oak trees and whatever that are made from one tiny little seed. V'kol eitz yeshnam har b'yose gergirim mashe b'chitesh yeskati. And those trees produce many, many more seeds than this little wheat kernel that we've spoken about. Hafle v'neira. Yishtabach ha-borech ha-chochem ha-rachaman, ha-mesovev es ha Es his havu is hadvorim agadoni b'yosim miagoyrim akaton v'chalash b'yosim. Moshe makosu v'lo niskonu alilus. That's what he wants. Lifnei Hashem sfurim u'muchonim hagoyrim ha'mesovavim es hatahavu is habruim. In front of Hashem is available and ready and counted to turn all the events that happen in the Bria. Rabbi Bigdamol always used to say that there's more, you need more computer power in an apple seed than you do to have created a skyscraper. There's more information, more data in an apple seed than there is in the computer program that builds a 150-story building. After the Nifla. He doesn't even go into what you're supposed to do here yourself, is just think even further. And not just that, in that one wheat kernel, there's 300 shiboilim, and each one's got 20 gagirim, that's six whatever. Each one of those gagirim that grows has the same potential for further growth. Every apple seed produces an apple tree, but that apple tree has on it apples, and in those apples there are seeds which can produce. It's infinite. One apple seed produces an infinite amount of apples. It's ein l'dover sof. And that's all in that little seed. That power that's ingrained in that little seed. And there's nothing there. Cut it up. Look at it. There's nothing there. It's a bit of mush. And even more than that is in order for it to grow, it has to become completely disintegrated until there's nothing there. So what actually grows in the end? And it grows in a bit of sand with a bit of water and sunlight. That's all. Take a bit of sand, a bit of water, a bit of sunlight, mix it all together, and you get apples. That's quite an interesting recipe. I don't know if you've tried it, but the apples you'll produce that way. There's a nifle v'neira, nifle v'neira. Ura darko et zuna, shel kol min v'min mibale chayim, ein mispa. There's another aspect, facet in this diamond that you can focus on. And that is the different ways that Hashem provides food for each different species. Ein mispo. the every animal has different food needs and different digestive systems and needs different foods and lives in a different environment and is perfectly suited to the food that grows there. It's a nifla. Unbelievable. The wise person, when he meditates on this and he understands the heel shtar shlusom, when he understands the process that goes into this, and you'll understand the causes why it was established that each animal eats the particular food that he eats. Now you're going to start recognizing the chokhmah in the thoughts of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, whatever that means. The pasuk in Baruch Nafshi that we say every Rosh Chodesh. You know, to say it slowly, you normally be rushing out of shul on Rosh Chodesh. It's late because it was a longer davening and you're late for work. You know, to take this capital Tehillim and just say it slowly. You guys in South Africa, take it with you when you go to the game reserve. Sit there quietly and just read it. You'll see it's happening in front of your eyes. It's mamash happening in front of your eyes, that whole capital Tehillim. Nifle v'noira. V'ma'oid, potech es yadecha u'mazbir l'kol chay rotzoi. You open your hand, you give each, l'kol chay rotzoi, you give each chay what it needs. U'b'shara b'tochen aveh inyan zeh yoyse be'ezrat Hashem. There he goes again. Focusing on the connection between Bechina and Betochen. We spoke about that last week at length. He's going to discuss this matching up on how Kodesh Baruch Hu takes care of everybody's nourishment and needs and food needs and whatever that we're going to discuss in Shara Betochen. Obviously, that's a good place to discuss it because that's what it's talking about. It's talking about that we botach in Hashem, that He'll provide us with our needs. So that's one aspect. But the other aspect is not just your needs, but each animal has different needs. And each animal gets the plants and the type of plants it needs and the type of animal that it needs in order to eat, the predators, the birds, the fish, the whole marechet, the insects, all perfectly planned. It's unbelievable, beyond comprehension. And it's chokhmah and it's chesed. It's Hashem's bothering himself to make sure that everybody gets the food they need. Say, how he does that, that's chokhmah. But why he does that? Because that's chesed. That's kulu chesed. V'atoyva gedoyle b'yoyse mikol ha-toyva sheheiti v'boire l'odom. What's the biggest toyva? If you could guess this. What's the biggest toyva of all the toyvas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows on Adam? V'aroya hachi chazoka al achdusoy v'yichalti yisparach, and the greatest raya for his oneness and his ability. Oh, wouldn't have predicted that, huh? He goes from talking about how animals get fed and everybody gets the nourishment they need, and straight into the, you know, the biggest raya that there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the biggest chesed and the greatest chokhmah, you want to see a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Torah Kedosha. The different letters that Hashem showed via Moshe, and the different minhagim, the way the world, the terror of the world changes. The unbelievable miracles that Hashem shows in the Torah, that we'll believe in Hashem, we'll be faithful to Hashem and to His Nevim. Moshe Kosuf, Israel Asayad Gedoyla Sheosa Hashem B'Mitzrayim. Israel saw the Yad, the Yad Gedolah that Hashem saw, that Hashem did to Mitzrayim. Ve'iru ha'am es Hashem, they saw Hashem, ve'iru ha'am es Hashem, they had Yira, they had awe of Hashem. Ve'yaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdoi. They had imuna, they were faithful to Hashem and to Moshe Avdoi. V'nei ma'oid, ata reis ha'adas ki Hashem hu ha'elokim ein oyed milmari. You've been shown to know. It doesn't say you have to believe or you know, we will convince you, we'll prove it. No, you saw it and you know it does. Vareisel it does. You have a total inner reality of this. You're one with this. Ein oyed milvada, there isn't anything other than Hashem. Min ha-shamayim ha-shmiyaches koyloi l'salzches ha-aretz v'arech es-shishoi Hagadoyle Dvorov Shamati Metoicha Esh. You heard Hashem speak. You stood on a seat and you heard Hashem speak. And it didn't happen that long ago. Didn't happen that long ago. 3,500 years ago. Give 80 years for a generation. Work out how many people you would meet if you had a line of people that were there. It's not that many. I think it's about 40 or 50 people. That's all. I'm going back to Sinai. Seems like it was like in an ever-ending, like you can never get there, but it's really not that far away. What's even more amazing is that we have a direct link of exactly who got the Torah and who gave it to and who gave it to, an unbroken tradition. We have their names, we have their original writings, we have everything still. It's a native of Nephilim. Okay, so he sneaks that in here, kind of. It's very jarring. I would love somebody who really knows the structure of this safer well to explain this to me. How many people are walking around that can explain, how did you get from feeding animals and that, you know, whatever, everyone gets his food he needs, and then boom, straight into like Nathan with the Torah. That's like a whole subject on its own. That's its own chapter. Okay. What's the problem? So if you look at Rabbi Tetzer's safer, darkness before the dawn or dawn for the darkness or something like that, he has a sefer like that. So he introduces that sefer with that sefer was written in response to a very powerful question. It was asked, I don't know what the person was, some physicist or something, lo zocheh. He said the problem he has is that he sees a lot of God in the Torah, but he sees no God in the world. The Torah talks about God a lot, but you look in the world, you don't see too much of God. So that question he felt deserved an understanding. I have to understand that question is a powerful question. And he explains why it is that way. Why that we don't have Nevuah and why we don't have these explicit revelations of Hashem in the world anymore. There's Nisim and there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. You just have to know how to open your eyes and see it while it's hidden. It requires Chochmah, it's not just Nevuah where it's blatant. The times of the Beis HaMikdash, you didn't have to meditate in it. You walked outside, you saw 10 Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash, clear, open. Bli avoda. Today, if you want to see Nisim, you have to, like, you need a Ravin Domila to explain to you what's going on in an apple seed. Because if you just get an apple seed, Gvaldik. Ravin Domila was once giving a class to some Bochrim or whatever, and one of the Bochrim asked a question which some of the Bochrim felt was a bit chutzpedik. And he got up and he walked out. So they thought, wow, that offended him. He left the shir. One of the Bochrim asked him, how can you prove there's a God? He got up and he walked out the room. So they're like, wow, you should, why are you being chutzpah? Why are you, how can you prove there's a God? You don't ask a teacher that question. You ask the Rebbe that kind of question, whatever. He came back 5 minutes later with an apple. And he put an apple on the table and he said, there's your proof. No, it's not so posh. You don't see lights shining out of an apple. You don't see apples jumping up and down. You don't see a little digital, megabyte counter there. What do you mean? Where do you see God? You have to know how to look at an apple properly. It takes a lot of training. Takshara Bechina, to know how to look at an apple, to see Nisim. The Nisim that we're talking about, and the Nisim that, you know, when you saw the water turn to blood, you didn't have to meditate on what was going on. You saw the Nisim Bevust. You saw a hail coming down that was made of water and fire, and there was two animals standing there, one Mitzri and one Jew, and the Jewish animal was fine. No drop of hell touched it. So you see them, you don't have to meditate and say, wow, I wonder what that's, you know, you see it Bevust. So that's a question that he went about writing and explaining what changed, why you have this shift, what the ancients has a gedola when we shifted from Nevuah into Chochmah, what changed, what happened when we went from Nevuah to Chochmah to Talmud. Very interesting sefer, worth looking at. I was going to touch on some of that today. What happens if somebody today wants to see the Nisim, similar to the Nisim that his father saw pre the shift out of Nevuah? Yiten mabat amiti al kiyumeinu bein ha'umas mi'az she'anu begolus. He has to give a clear look. He has to look with a clear perspective, a genuine perspective, at the fact that this nation, since we've been in Golus 2,000 years, still exists. And our financial situation during this Golus. Even though We have a completely different mashkof. We have a different style of life. We have a different, the whole essence is different. And they know that. The yere kimatzav akalkalav aponosu shelanu hu ulai kimat kematzavim haim. V'itochen afilu shematzavenu hu yoyset toivim matzavom. Our matzav financial situation through this golus or whatever is almost as good as theirs, and very often was better than theirs. Bezmanei milchama umahumois. We're talking about wars and pogroms and all sorts of upheavals and whatever. And yet many communities, through all of that, they maintained their financial stability. Not always. Sometimes there was extreme poverty, we know, especially in the period between the two wars. The horrific Avada, not saying not, but there were places where that wasn't happening. During the two wars, there were places where Jews were doing very well and making lots and lots of money. America was doing very well. The Yidden in South Africa weren't suffering from terrible poverty between the two wars. There were plenty of places in the world where Yidden were, through all the Golos, were doing actually very well. Void Yirashe habeinoinim v'anim shebehem oivdim yoisek Hashem ishabeinoinim v'anim shelamayinu. The poor people and the middle class people in the Goyish world or whatever work much harder than ours. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us in Vayikra. Even when you'll be in the land of your enemies, lo ma'astim v'lo galtim. I haven't despised you and I haven't abandoned you. Ve'ezra oime, ki avodim anachnu ube'avuduseinu lo azavnu elokeinu. We were slaves. Ezra, they were in Babel. They were slaves. But in our slavery, we never abandoned you, Hashem. V'nema lula Hashem sho'yelanu, yoyim eno Yisrael lula Hashem sho'yelanu, b'kum aleinu Adam v'yesem mizmor. Had it not been that Hashem was with us when this Adam, when these nations, I think it's referring to Yishmael, that Adam. Atem krim Adam v'enu m'soylem koru Adam. So who's this Adam? Yishmael is also called Adam. Maybe that's what it's talking to in that pasuk in that tilim. No, no. Anyway, but that the few of those psukim there in Shir HaMaalot is the first one for sure is talking about Yishmael. Could be referring to Yishmael, but that's what Hashem's saying. I've driven you. You're in the enemy's lands. There's pogroms. There's wars. Whatever. But I abandoned you. I left you alone, and we still exist. And not just exist. We're strong. We fragmented, and that's why we don't look so strong. We have this terrible pre-messianic fragmentation where there's no unity, there's no leadership, it's a frightening situation to be in. That's what the Navi said it would look like. Of all that Hashem's abandoned us, Hashem's with us. Look at the miracles happening in your own life every day. Now he says that's if you want to, now the work here, of course. Yeah, he leaves you to do the work. The Nisim that our father saw, the Nisim that our father saw in Mitzrayim and whatever, and Kriyas Yamsuf and afterwards in the Beis Hamikdash, that's the same Nisim. You want to see the Nisim we're having today? The fact that we exist today. The fact that they can fire in 4 days into Israel, they can fire over 700 rockets into Israel and no one gets hurt. And a lot of their people got hurt by the rockets they sent. The video, you guys saw that video? You see the rocket leaving Gaza, you see it turning around, making a U-turn and going into a house and blowing up a house. There was some kid that got killed there or whatever. They were blaming Israel. They sent out the video. They sent out the security camera that picked up this video. That's like Mama's Hanukkah. That's Mitzrayim. They said the Mitzrayim shot the arrows or whatever and they bounced back and they hit them. That doesn't happen today. Yeah, it happens today. There's a mamash from a few weeks ago when there was a war in Gaza. There were a few incidences like that where they fired these rockets and they, not that they, like they blew up in the middle or whatever. Their mamash turned around and went back. There's videos of it. Nifla, mamash. But okay, so there you see it, Mufurush. Aval, the mirrors he's talking about. The fact that we still exist, that we've survived, whatever. It's not so simple to extract from there. Person who studied the Holocaust a little bit, you go look at the camps and whatever, and you see that's the miracles of Mitzrayim. We don't see open miracles, how they were saved and how they got there. For sure, there were personal miracles. people got saved and how they got saved. And yet there were miraculous things that happened to people. Everyone's heard Holocaust stories about it. People got saved and the miracles, the Briskarov's miracles and the Belzer Rebbe and many of the Gedolim, how they escaped were open miracles. But those are small, unique events. Somebody have to take this, he's telling you, and you have to expand this and understand that our existence today is the greatest miracle, is equal to the miracles of what Klal Yisrael went through in Mitzrayim. U'b'sha'a kabbalas avodas Elokim askir b'ezrat Hashem v'archove u'memida maspekes es ha'tov ha'gedol sh'hayitiv Elokim lanu b'zeh she'nosen lanu es torosoi. Now he switches back to Mamash, just another one of these like jarring, you know, not well edited lines. He was talking about feeding and the animals and how they all get their food and it's gavaldik and how clever all this stuff is. Then he starts talking about the wonders of Torah. And then he starts talking about if you want to see the miracles and whatever, so then you have to look and see that Klal Yisrael still exists. And in Shara, he says, yeah, I'll discuss more the almost goodness that Hashem gave us the Torah. What's clear is that he's telling you that the kium of Klal Yisrael through all these miracles, all these years and whatever, and the miracles that the Torah describes, is we see that's the enormous chesed that Hashem gave us the Torah, because that's what's kept us alive through all these goluses, okay, for sure. But it's very jarring. The you know, if you were the editor and you had to write the content and a flow chart, you would probably ask him to re-edit this because it doesn't seem to flow so well. Obviously, it does. Okay, now he goes on to another story. Let's start it. It's quite a long stickle there. Well, let's see what we can come away with. Also, a very interesting subject that I wouldn't have thought of. It's also correct that a person should pay attention and understand the Chochmah of Hashem and his Toiva. Thousands and thousands of people. Come to the same conclusions, unified decisions. Even though everyone's different in his deyosov, everyone doesn't look the same. The same way that everyone doesn't look the same, nobody thinks the same either. Lahamlich al atzman lemelech es echad mehem. They all coronate upon themselves a king, and they accept his guidance, and they listen to his voice and everything that he commands them and warns them about. And they treat him with awe and covered fear. He's concerned about them, looks after them, and he judges them righteously. And he conducts them in a way that's good for everybody, so that none of their physical possessions and their guf should be damaged. And he takes care of the fact that the enemy shouldn't be able to overpower them. If you didn't have a king taking care of the klal, anyone just took care of himself, and all he would do is care about his own rights, no one would set up a security system around the city. Around the city, they used to build a wall and towers to protect them. There would be mamash total what we call today anarchy. Every country has a leader, not a melech, it's a president, it's a parliament, democracy. We got caught up in that narishkat today. We have to suffer from that today, democracy. Everybody wants somebody to be ruling over them. that the world should continue. It's one of the wondrous, most wondrous things in the world that people still, after having been let down and dumped and disappointed by governments time and time again, when there comes an election, they still think that this time they'll vote for the right person, things will get better. How do people still think that? Is that clear awesome? I'm telling you, it's one of the miracles of the Bria. No, no, I'm not being facetious. I used to say it facetiously, but he taught me here. That's one of the prayers. You've seen that there's nobody there. No one cares about you. No one's interested in you. You're voting, yeah, but not this guy. Maybe this guy. There's a new guy in town. This one will be able to. He'll be better. He'll be... Haven't you learned yet? No, because we have this drive and this need that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into us. We need a leader. We need someone to take care of things. We understand. Otherwise, you have anarchy. Because you have what's going on in South Africa to a large extent. But even there, someone thinks this Schwarzer will be better now, but that Schwarzer will be better. That's been Africa all the years. And they take these despotic, megalomaniac meshuganas and they give everything to them, so they rule over them. Of course, we're talking about, yeah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have good kings, kings like David HaMelech, like Shlomo HaMelech, kings who don't care about themselves, kings who care about the people. Those are few and far between. Very few is the leader who represents what a true leader is supposed to be. Aval, that's one of the miracles of the Bria, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into the lave of everybody. They all get together and they say, okay, he's going to be our king. Why him? Because they understand intuitively that if you don't have a leader, then it's Hefka, and then there's no one taking care of anything. The problem is when you have a leader, no one's taking care of anything because he's too busy taking care of himself. Okay, that's the problem. When we call Shekhen Shiesh Toelas Bahamlocha Samelech, of course, there's an enormous benefit if you appoint a king, if you coronate a king, and he's shame at the chukim of the Torah. He's a yid that lives, this king lives by the rules of the Torah. He's a king that rules the way the Torah wants him to rule, tzedek, with correct, straight pathways. He's completely submissive to the Torah, and he's concerned about conducting himself in a straight way. His leadership and leadership will continue for Doiris. Kamo shekosuv, chesed ve'emes yitzru melech, v'sod v'chesed kisoy. That's a melech. Chesed ve'emes yitzru melech. That's what creates, that's what builds a melech. V'sod v'chesed kisoy. V'imru v'amnesenu chazal, mitpalel b'shloima shel malchus. The mission pickovers commands us, daven for the peace of the kingship of the country, of the leadership. Because if there wasn't this fear of the police, of the government, of whatever it is, people would eat each other alive. And we see that, we know that's you don't need to be a big chochem to know that that's the truth. That's the truth. And we said happening today, unfortunately, you have countries that don't have sense of this, that's what people do. They're not happy with something that happens in the city, so they go and they burn the city down, or they loot stores, or they almost eat people alive. So that's why one of the things of Kodesh Baruch Hu we see in the Bria, we take it for granted because we just assume that that's what it is focusing our attention that fact that people search for a leader and want guidance and certainly want a benevolent, a king who's wise and good and caring about the people. We're so far. When was the last time we had something like that in the world? Maybe in Russia they've got someone like that today. I don't know. I don't know where. Maybe in China the president there cares about people. Or maybe in North Korea. Where? Even here, where we are. Who cares about what I'm saying? How many politicians care about anything other than themselves? So it's hard for us to grasp, but we need to know that there is this natural, so to speak, tendency that people have, that they want this. They want this unity. They want to be part of something bigger than themselves. And that's one of the plea of the Bria, and he calls it one of the chesodim that we have, because without that, we would be terribly lost. Okay. Metz Hashem, did I mark the place? We're finished. Yo. Yep. Next, we'll see how money works. There's also one of the geniuses. Everybody agrees that gold is $1,800 an ounce. Well, I think it's worth $60 an ounce. The other guy thinks it's worth $1 million an ounce. No, there's a haskama between people on what the value of different things in the world are. It's a pleiotsum. Anyway, we'll look at it from a different perspective to what they taught you in your MBA classes. We'll try and understand it slightly differently next week.
You give it over very well.
Email from me, Mos.
Be blessed. Take good care of yourself.
Right. Have a good night, Trav. Be well.
Enjoy the rest of your week.
You too.